Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And Judge Rovner is on the speakerphone. So, are you there, Alana? Yeah.
I am.
Right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so our first case for argument is Nightingale, Mrs. Anodyne, Ms. Milliken.
May it please the Court, I am Jennifer Milliken, represent Nightingale Home Health Care. The facts of the case are pretty simple. Basically, we purchased therapy units from Anodyne Therapy based on the representation that those units were FDA approved for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy. No other product out on the market at that time was making such a claim, so we were going to use that as a marketing edge to get an edge over our competitors, but we found out from a third party that the representations were untrue and that Anodyne knew that they were untrue when they made the representation. Nightingale contacted Anodyne.
You switched to another machine, which also isn't approved for peripheral neuropathy. So what was that about?
We did. We switched to the MedX therapy machines. And at the time, I mean, the MedX therapy machines were not approved for peripheral neuropathy, but they were much cheaper than the Anodyne units.
The Anodyne, so I didn't understand. Why not? You paid for the Anodyne, so it didn't matter whether they were cheaper. Why wouldn't you just stick with them? Why would you buy a bunch of new machines? I don't get that.
Because we had gone out and we had marketed the Anodyne therapy machines as being FDA approved for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy. We had actually taken an Anodyne representative with us out to one of our referral sources, and we were using that as a marketing opportunity.
Does your evidence include any record of lost customers, complaints, or other concrete adverse actions resulting from Nightingale's representations to its customers that the Anodyne unit was FDA approved for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy?
No, our evidence doesn't include any. We don't have any such evidence. The reason we decided to switch was because of the fact that we're in an industry that a lot of is based on good faith, and the customer relies on what you're telling them. And so when we found out that we were out promoting a product that wasn't as we had said it was.
Well, how did you promote the new machine?
We didn't promote it as being FDA approved for treatment of peripheral neuropathy. Actually, we...
Why don't you just notify your customers that although you thought Anodyne machines were good and the patients had stressed improvement and so on, that they were not FDA approved for this condition, although there's nothing wrong with using the machines for that purpose. Couldn't you have told them that?
We could have told them that, but the problem was if we would have been backstepping what we had previously told them, and there was a concern there that we would lose that trust with the customers.
Who makes your referrals? Who are the customers you're talking about?
The referral sources are different. They're physicians. Most of them are physicians. We also go into assisted living facilities. And if there's a need there for somebody, the director at the facility will call us and make a referral to us.
What did you tell your patients when you switched the machines?
I don't know the answer to that. I believe that they told them that they were switching because I don't know.
May I take you somewhere else, Ms. Milliken? I'm wondering why you failed to protest Anodyne's arguments on the merits in the district court if you believed you were limited to presenting arguments on damages?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I'm just wondering why you didn't protest Anodyne's arguments on the merits in the district court.
Well, we did. We just did it summarily because we thought that the judge, based on her order, just wanted to hear the arguments on damages, not liability.
What evidence do you have on damages? I don't understand that.
Well, that was the part of the issue that we had at the lower court. The evidence we had was the testimony from Dr. Brar, which is the president, the owner of the company. And basically, we had put a lot of marketing effort into the units. We had billboards that we had put out.
Yeah, but there's this self-inflicted wound quality to your evidence that if you'd kept on with the Anodyne machines, all of the expenses that you contend are damages would have been avoided.
Except we were directed by Anodyne to take out any references to the treatment for peripheral neuropathy because that's what the FDA told them that we were supposed to do because they didn't have that approval.
I don't understand it. You could promote Anodyne in the same way you promoted the successor machine. I don't understand that. So with your successor machine, the new machine, you never mentioned peripheral neuropathy?
What they were mentioning was actually the symptoms of peripheral neuropathy. Instead of saying that we have a treatment for peripheral neuropathy, they were saying that we can treat
Who's the
physical therapists would be the ones that were going out to
treat. Well, they could still say that about Anodyne machines, right?
Correct.
So why, and then presumably they say the same thing about the new machines. So what's the difference?
The difference would be that we felt we relied on the representation from Anodyne that they were FDA approved for treatment of peripheral neuropathy. We went out to our patients, represented that to our patients, and then we would have to go back out.
Well, you make different representations now with respect to the new machine, right?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you make the same new representations with regard to Anodyne's? So instead of telling them you're treating the condition, you just say you're treating the symptoms.
It
sounds as if you're engaged in a fraud also. That is, you don't want... What you could have done, you could have said to your patients, look, and you don't have to put it this bluntly, what you could have said to your patients was, we want to remind you that this machine, the Anodyne machine, treats symptoms of peripheral neuropathy but doesn't treat the underlying condition. You could have said that to them, right? That'd be perfectly honest. You didn't want to do that. You wanted to sell them, you wanted to treat them with the new machine without saying anything.
Correct.
Leaving within them with the impression that you were still treating the underlying condition. That's fraud, right? Because you market you treat them with the Anodyne machine, and you say, you know, this is approved for treatment of peripheral neuropathy. Then one day you come in with a new machine, and if they ask you, this looks different, which they probably don't ask. It looks different. You say, yeah, it's just a new machine. It's a new, same thing, new machine. So you're perpetuating the impression that you're treating them with a machine that's FDA approved for treatment of peripheral neuropathy. Right?
Yes.
Want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Ms. Mulligan. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Your Honor. Robert Johnson on behalf of Anodyne. Essentially,
all this stuff about warranty seems to me completely wrong and irrelevant. If your fellow Cody committed a fraud, which the judge has never decided one way or the other, then a warranty doesn't business waiver, limited warranty, it doesn't have anything to do with the fraud.
I would disagree with the court that there are the cases that we've cited.
Look what the waiver of warranty says. It doesn't say anything about, you know, if we commit a fraud, you've waived any rights you have on the basis of it. That's not what this form says.
Clearly the form does not say that, but I believe that the Florida case law supports our...
You don't by saying, here's a limited warranty, saying, and by the way, I can commit fraud against you with impunity because I've given you a limited warranty instead of an unlimited warranty. Where did you get that idea from?
We specifically in the warranties disclaim any warranty of merchantability.
It's not a question of warranty. It's a question of committing fraud, saying to a person... It has nothing to do with merchantability, anything like that. The machine is perfectly good. It's perfectly saleable. It's perfectly legal. But if you have a salesman who says, this machine will cure cancer, or this machine will make you live forever, that's a fraud, and that person has not waived his or forfeit his right to complain simply because the warranty is only against, defects in manufacture. If you have any cases that say anything like that, you should tell us. I would be astonished.
I believe that the cases that we have cited in our brief out of Florida, the parties have conceded that this case is governed by Florida law because the contract provides that it's to be governed.
Do you think that companies in the medical profession, simply by having a standard warranty form, immunize themselves from any complaint about fraud by salesmen? That's your position.
That's the position in the cases that we have cited, Gallo case.
And what was that case?
That was when they sold the aircraft and made certain warranties about the aircraft prior to their entering into an agreement. And the court found that once they have entered into that agreement, the agreement itself controls. And in
so
that agreement, there was an as-is.
They had said to someone, this plane flies without... if this plane crashes, it'll bounce or something like that. They say something like that. They've gotten immunity by virtue of the wording of their warranty. That's your position.
Of the clause that the parties ultimately entered into.
That is not the law.
Can you tell me this? Is it true that you knew when selling the units to Nightingale that they planned to market the devices as FDA approved for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy?
If I can respond to that, there was no evidence in the record anywhere that Nightingale promoted this as FDA approved for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy. Now, there is nothing to prevent Nightingale, as the court pointed out earlier, from marketing this as a treatment for peripheral neuropathy. The FDA warning letter merely said to the manufacturer that the manufacturer cannot promote the product as a treatment for peripheral neuropathy or any other disease that they didn't have pre-market clearance for.
Did you ever contact Nightingale after receiving the warning letter from the FDA?
Yes. What we did is we received the warning letter from the FDA. We turned that over to our attorneys to respond, and then we wrote a letter to all of our clients advising them that we cannot market this as a treatment for peripheral neuropathy. However, nothing prevented home health care providers such as Nightingale from promoting this as a treatment for peripheral neuropathy. And in fact, as we've set forth in our brief, we did a chart which said that essentially Nightingale came back with the MedX unit and promoted it identically to the way they promoted the Anodyne unit.
As FDA approved?
No, they had previously never promoted it as FDA approved for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy, but their marketing material did not change in any way according to their marketing Nightingale's marketing representatives. And in fact, we did a chart of the advertising using using Anodyne's light therapy and using MedX light therapy, and it remains identical, with the exception of removing the word peripheral neuropathy. And they could have still used the word peripheral neuropathy.
Second to this warranty issue, you emphasize the last paragraph, looking at page 12 of the plaintiff's brief, about the warranty. So it says, this limited warranty gives you specific legal rights. You may have other rights which vary from state to state. Now, there's no waiver of those rights. And then you say, you settle out by applicable law, no event shall manufacturer be liable for any incidental, consequential, etc. damages from any breach of warrant. There's no statement there that punitive or other damages arising from a fraud are waived, is there?
Correct. And I am not sure that I have seen a disclaimer.
Yeah, it's very narrowly drafted. It's a waiver of certain breach of warranty remedies. It's not a waiver of fraud remedies.
And I believe it's narrowly drafted according to the Uniform Commercial Code, which we're proceeding under in this.
Where is the waiver of fraud remedies?
There isn't a waiver included in the document itself.
Well, the suit is for fraud. If the waiver isn't in the document, where is it?
There is one portion which we're still dealing with, which is a breach of contract or breach of warranty claim.
Where is the waiver of the fraud claim? There is a fraud claim. Where is that waived?
Fraud is not mentioned in there. However, there are cases which we've cited, and additionally, we've cited under Florida law, and we've pled as an affirmative defense in our case, that fraud claims are generally barred in Florida by the economic loss rule.
That's a separate argument.
Right.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about this limited warranty language. I'm looking for where it waives a fraud claim.
And it is our contention under the applicable law that we follow.
Where does it waive a fraud claim? Point to the language in here where there's a waiver of a fraud claim.
There is no mention in there of a waiver of a fraud claim. I certainly concede that to the court. It's not in there.
Thank you.
It is our contention here that there was no reason for Nightingale to have switched or basically stored all of these Anodyne light therapy devices. As the court points out, the only suggestion we have made in the evidence is that when Nightingale learned of the FDA letter, Nightingale came to us and said, "We learned of this. We want you to give us a discount on additional purchases of units." We failed to do that. They then said, "We're going to give you back these units. We don't want them anymore. We want our money back." We refused that. As a result of that, they put the 12 Anodyne units in storage and then went out and purchased all of the MedX units. I think we didn't follow their leveraging argument, and they just decided to use this as a vehicle to pursue a claim against us. In the lower court, I go back to the damage issue, I don't see any damages that they have suffered, nor have they given us any evidence that we could present to the trier of fact here as to what their damages are. They use the product for approximately 2 years. Through their own testimony, they profited. They liked the product. It was good. It helped their patients. They made a lot of money. And they never provided us any information as to those monies that they had received. As a result of that, it's impossible to determine what their damages are. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Ms. Mulligan, how much time does she have? 1 minute? Do you have anything further, Ms. Mulligan? No. Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsels. Next case for argument, Milam versus Dominick's.